Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Chris Marston. Chris is the Chief of Staff in the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Well, Chris, one of the things you mentioned in the last segment was improving budget and performance integration. How are you doing that at ONDCP?
Well, it's part of our effort that I described a little bit to replace our old PME system. We're working very closely with the Office of Management and Budget that's spearheading the budget and performance integration, which is really the keystone of the President's management agenda and the way we're really going to make progress on all the other initiatives we've set out. And we're working very hard to make sure that in our budget decision making, which sometimes in the past has just been based on, well, we need to see an aggregate increase in the total drug budget, and we want to make sure we don't have, you know, any reductions in the three big areas, you know, prevention, treatment, and supply reduction. And that's not really that's managing politically. It's not managing government for accountability. And so we really wanted to bring accountability to the system. So we're working very closely with agencies on developing their GPRA plans and measures, the Government Performance and Results Act. And we're working with OMB in the new effort they've started, the PART score. I'm not going to try their acronyms. I only know mine. But they've done a separate effort. It incorporates GPRA and some other items from the President's management agenda to develop a score for each agency. They did about 20% of the government this year. And for all the drug control programs they did, we worked very closely with them on coming up with that assessment. And we found it to be a real helpful tool to help us drive performance out into some of the agencies. It's really easy for bureaus down in the bowels of a department to sort of get lost in the shuffle in the department. So we're able to sort of come in at a second look. You could almost consider everybody, like all the drug control programs, to be a top-level bureau under ONDCP in that sense, whereas in the Department of Justice or the Department of State, they might be several layers down, and so they don't always get the same focus. But because they're very important to us, we bring that focus to them. And we work real closely, as I said, to develop their GPRA measures and do the assessment with OMB so that we can make decisions based on who's making a difference and who's managing as though they plan to make a difference. So we've been really aggressive with that, and we found that to be a really exciting initiative in the President's management agenda.
Now, you mentioned the PMA a couple times, and I'm curious. ONDCP is not scored, as I understand it, in the PMA. How do you work with it, or how do you use it to run?
We are not directly scored in the, you know, red light, yellow light, green light, which some days is a relief. But we're a fairly small agency by comparison to the others. It's principally the cabinet departments, and then they've added some other agencies. And I think a lot of the ones that were added, either they're very, very large, like the Social Security Administration, or like the National Science Foundation, they provide an example of something that's going really well. They were the only people to get a green light on the first President's management agenda. And of course, OMB had to put itself in because it just wouldn't be fair to be holding everyone else accountable if they weren't doing it. So I think the reason that we're not in it is a good one. There's only so many things we can focus on. But as part of the Executive Office of the President, we are very strongly committed to it. So we work hard with OMB and OPM to help introduce the concepts into other departments and agencies. And inside our own shop, we take on some of those initiatives, the budget and performance integration. Actually very proud of our own budget submission for the salary and expense account this year and our own programs. We actually integrated our GPRA plans and reports into our budget request document, the congressional budget justification. So we're actually marrying up our performance data and our budget request. In the past, they've been, you know, separate documents sent at separate times and unrelated, but we take it seriously. We want our budget request to be judged on the results we're promising and what we've achieved in the past. So on that level, budget and performance integration, we're very deeply integrated. We're working hard on strategic management of human capital, but with a small workforce, it can be a real challenge. We don't have a whole lot of turnover, which is really a good sign, but it doesn't create a lot of opportunity for making transformative changes in our personnel system. We have actually done a lot in terms of developing our rating system. The year before Director Walters was confirmed, we have a five rating system, you know, all the way from minimally successful up to, or I guess, unsatisfactory, minimally successful, fully successful, excellent, outstanding. 97% of the agency received an outstanding. The balance received excellence. And while it's true that we have really good people, and I wouldn't say we didn't, it's unlikely for anything in human nature to come out that way. So we've really introduced a commitment to measuring honestly for results, and we've sort of shifted that curve over a little bit. We're still not at a bell curve or anything resembling natural performance. We've made some improvements. We've also gone back and looked at everybody's standards and turned them more from, you know, descriptions of duties into outcome-oriented standards. So we've worked very hard on that. We've had some help from OPM. In doing that, we brought in some outside folks through one of their programs, the Center for Effective Government. And they've been a big help in helping us look at some of our internal systems to find ways to improve. We were doing a pretty good job on e-government. We had a very aggressive website that actually a contractor at Justice manages for us, and we've worked very hard to make sure that that's a performance-based contract. So we've introduced that innovation. Competitive sourcing is we don't have a lot of contracting activities. Most of what we have is managed by other folks. We don't have our own contracting shop, so competitive sourcing hasn't been something that we've needed to focus on or could really focus on too strongly. Financial performance is something where we needed a lot of work. We had some trouble with our media campaign in prior years on financial performance and gotten a little bit of trouble up on the Hill and with GAO over it. So it was something we were already focusing on, but the renewed commitment the president's management agenda brought to it helped us in sort of invigorating that effort.
Speaking of competitive sourcing, one of the things I noticed is that ONDCP outsources some of its functions to other government agencies. And I was curious if you could tell us like how that experience has worked and what have been the management challenges.
It presents some challenges, but it was something we really had to do. We don't have the infrastructure to do contract administration under the Federal Acquisition Regulation. There's something the president's manager agenda is looking at to change. And we also don't have the infrastructure to be grants managers. Those are both very time-intensive activities that require some specialized skills. And so what we've done is gone to other places in government where that's all they do, or it's a large part of what they do. And so we've let that part of the administration of the program out. We keep the policy control, but we move the administrative and technical portion to another department or agency. And we've had very good success on our Drug-Free Communities program, for instance. The Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, which is part of the Department of Justice's Office of Justice Programs, they've done our grant management, and they have a lot of programs that deal with youth and service to disadvantaged youth. So the Community Coalitions program fits into that fairly well, and they have a grant management infrastructure that cuts across not just that office, but the whole of OJP, which is several billion dollars in programs. So they know grants management in a way that we never will and that we couldn't build the capacity to do. So we have a couple people in our office that work on the policy and do the liaison with the folks over at OJJDP, to throw in another acronym, who do the grants management. So it's worked out fairly well.
Do you have a formal process of choosing who you'll work with, or is there a rating system?
You know, the decisions, that particular decision was made before I got there, but there were essentially three places in government to look to that might be able to do something like that. The two criteria were strong grants management and youth-serving programs. So the Department of Education, the Department of Health and Human Services, and the Department of Justice were the three places we looked. And as I understand it, OJJDP came up strongest in terms of their grant management history. We thought that HHS might have a stronger link to this kind of service delivery, but it turned out that what we found was that OJJDP had much stronger grant management capability.
Often when people talk about contracting parts of their organization to other parts for service is a sense of they lose control and they worry about accountability. I'm curious how your experience has been.
Well, that's definitely can be a problem. We haven't had it too much with our Drug-Free Communities program, but our National Youth Anti-Drug Media campaign has been a whole different story. We're actually on the third contracting office that services that. It's one change was our choice, one was the other agency's choice. It started at the Department of Health and Human Services, and for whatever reason, their contracting office might not have known what they were getting into exactly, but it's a big contract, and it's not the kind of contract that government usually runs. We don't contract for a lot of advertising services in government. They're more now a public health service campaigns, but when we started ours, we were pretty much it. This and military recruiting and then work at the census on a decennial basis were all the advertising government did. And ours was very different because for the other two programs, there's a very direct outcome. For census advertising, it's how many census forms do I get back? For military recruiting, it's how many recruits do I get? For our advertising campaign, it's how good a job do we do stopping people from starting drug use? So it's a very nebulous thing to measure, and it's what they call behavioral change advertising. So it's a whole different experience than anything we'd really had before in government. So it was quite a challenge, and the award of the first contract was a challenge, and they tried to get the whole program running right after the appropriation came. And as I'm sure many listeners know, procurement quickly is not easy to do, particularly with such a large procurement. So HHS ran into some contract administration problems. GAO did a couple reports, several congressional committees got fairly irritated. So we then shopped around for other places, and the Department of Navy actually offered the best servicing fee to manage the contract. So we went with the Department of Navy. They also had a place called the Defense Contract Audit Agency, who are really the best contract auditors in government. So they offered that asset as well. And they did a really good job in taking over administration of the contract and running it. Then we decided to recompete the contract. There was a lot of scrutiny of the contractor that was in place because of the original problems we had over at HHS. So we recompeted the contract, and that was a really long and laborious process. And the Defense Department, at the same time we were doing this, decided that it really wanted to use its contracting assets internally for mission-related things. That's been a big theme of the Secretary of Defense. He's tried to get defense to focus on its core mission. So after the recompetition, Navy let us know that they couldn't continue to service the contract past the end of the fiscal year. So we went to probably the place we should have started, which is GovWorks at the Department of Interior. And it's a special franchise fund. Its only purpose is to serve contracts. And it's almost an independent operating corporation of the government. It reports to the Secretary of the Interior, but it doesn't receive an appropriation. It makes all its money from service fees. So it's very customer oriented, and it has great knowledge about contracting. And to date, they've done a super job. They've taken a number of contracts, performance of which is complete, but billing wasn't, and said, look, time to close these out. Gotten with the vendors, worked to close them out. So we've been really happy with that. My advice based on that whole situation is, you know, look real hard before you start the first time, because change isn't very much fun in these enterprises.
That's a good lesson to stop on. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our discussion about public sector management with Chris Marston of the Office of National Drug Control Policy. What role does drug control policy play in Homeland Security? We'll get Chris's thoughts when the Business of Government Hour returns.